Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're now listening to the Thanks for Trying podcast, episode 9, hosted by myself, The Last Skeptic. Today's episode features the incredible artist Ruben Dan Gore and my good friend Ashley James. As always, there's fuckloads of swearing in this. We get really, really drunk. It's unadulterated, it's unfiltered, it's only a little bit edited, and that's for your own safety. Big shout out to Seb White for recording the show. Enjoy the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners at home, all you crazy motherfuckers, this is episode nine of the Thanks for Trying podcast with myself, The Last Skeptic, and very special guests, Ruben Dan Gore and Ashley James.
Yeah. Woo!
Yes, that was a really robust clapping spree for a small amount of people today, but I enjoyed it. I'm gonna go to you first, Ruben Dan Gore. How are you doing, man? What the fuck's going on? I haven't seen you in ages and it's upset me, I'm not gonna lie.
I know. I miss you. I do miss you.
I miss you too.
Like the deserts miss the rain.
Classic lyric that you've just made up clearly.
Off the top of the dome.
For people that don't know, because you know, like I haven't seen you since everything's kicked off, really. But things have kicked off, which are fucking amazing. Like it's so sick for you. Like it's sick.
Very kind.
So you started off humble beginnings, you know, sketching me.
Humble beginnings.
You know, sketching me. Drawing me so much, you know, it's great. And you've been doing grime portraits. Tell everyone out there right now about your grime portraits, how it started, because that's what I'm fascinated about.
How did it start? It started from being a fan, mainly, of grime.
Yeah.
And then late last year, it was clear that there was basically a kind of a bit of a resurgence in grime and a whole new audience who were tuning in and enjoying it and loving it. And I wanted to pay homage to the people who I felt when I was growing up, who were the, because I'm a bit older, basically people like Wiley, Skepta and Dizzy, D-Double, people who, when I was in school, were doing big things and just paying homage to them. Yeah. So that there was a bit of like heritage, if you like, you know, like an ancestry of grime. So painting them like you would paint an old oil painting, I guess.
Like, so like regal, like all of the fucking
royalty. Something like that you'd hang over your fireplace in your country estate, I guess.
I love the fact that it's a juxtaposition, isn't it? And I'm sure loads of wanky fucking, you know, you've been interviewed everywhere and so you've had lots of wanky questions about that.
It's hard not to come off as a wanky guy. But it's basically, grime is a very British art form.
Yeah.
And that kind of particular way of showing the British, I guess it's quite a British way of, if you went into a British country home, if you like, you'd have those sort of, it's just a twist on British norms, I guess. I don't know. It's quite fun. I hate saying it all.
Stormzy took one on tour, man. Come on
he
now.
He did. Yeah, that was mad.
Sick.
I really want to see your paintings now.
You must have seen them.
Like, I will have done, but I didn't do any research. I just came in blind.
Well,
I
didn't do any Were we meant to do research?
Yeah, you're supposed to you didn't do research. You didn't get the dossiers.
I researched some alcohol and I bought some, but that's I don't really know what nice that is.
I'm researching alcohol as we speak.
Whoa. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's good.
How are you, Ashley?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Good. What's going on with DJing?
Yeah, I'm not as good as you.
Stop it. No one is. But no, that's fine.
But so, some quite sick thing happened today. Okay. So I DJ with Charlotte Cole. We're called the Bittersweet DJs. We were called something else, but we were told it was shit, so we had to...
What was the last name?
I came up with it. I thought it was pretty good. It was Pick and Mix.
Pick and Mix. Because pretty good.
We're pretty sweet. But I was told it was shit, and even Charlotte kept calling us Little Mix, and I was like... Wow. So now we're bittersweet.
Okay.
Because I'm obviously very sweet. And Converse sent us some customised bittersweet Converse. I feel like we made it now.
Wow. I haven't heard of Converse. What do they do?
I don't know, really. I think it's an alcohol.
So what's your sets like? Because you haven't been DJing for too long, but it's been like... it must have been about a year or so now since I met you.
I learned to DJ like maybe 4 years ago, but... Mm. Kind of half-heartedly.
Yeah.
Not half-heartedly, but like the guy that was teaching me didn't, I won't say who he is, but he couldn't really explain it. So I'd be like, all right, so what does this one do? And he'd be like, I don't really know how to explain
that's
it.
That's a clue. Who speaks like that?
Do voice identification now, listeners.
Who speaks like that?
So, it didn't really like kick off. And then, I don't know, do you know what it is? A company messaged me saying, do you DJ? We'd love to book you. It was a paid gig. So I went, yeah. And then I was like, oh shit, I better pick that one back up. And I mean, it kind of made sense because I have my radio show on Hoxton Radio. And so I started DJing. Well,
That's the thing is that I can't, you know, as much as I hate like models turn DJs, as I can't fault you because you actually have a great selection of songs.
Yeah, and the thing is I was never really a model. Like I tried to be, but I never really got booked and I definitely never dieted. So I think I was always a little bit, I'm not saying I'm fat because I'm not, but by model standards, I was certainly no like model shape. So I think I actually started on radio when I was 16, but it was like work experience stuff, did it at uni. And then I always tried to model, but like didn't really get booked ever. And then it was after I kind of made a bit of a name for myself doing other things that then
which
modeling,
we will talk about.
We don't talk about. It's like the Voldemort. It's like the Voldemort of the room.
Oh yeah.
So then I started getting like modeling offers. So I was like, oh my God.
Sick.
Finally, I can call myself
realize
a model. I had like, that was all I ever wanted because no, I was always like, yeah, I never got booked. And
it's
then,
a bullshit industry. I mean, like all,
yeah, all of them.
But
all of
do you know what it is? I'll tell you why. Like, so a few years ago when, like back to the DJing, a few years ago, because I had never DJed and it was off the back of being on TV that someone said you should DJ to like, because you know, you can make money from it. I was like, I can't really see myself as a DJ, which... I think it's just because it was like a thing I hadn't really thought of. And I personally judge a lot of people that I'm sure it annoys you that go through a TV show or get a platform and suddenly they're like, whoa, we're DJs.
Yeah.
Whereas like doing my radio show, like, I've always loved music anyway. And like with my radio show, I kind of had like, I guess like a newfound, not newfound appreciation, but I saw music as more of a like, rather than it just being... I don't even know how to describe it, but basically I actually became like fascinated.
You gave a shit about it,
So rather than being like a fan of music, I saw it from a more like professional angle. So I was like, all right, I'm going to pick up this DJing thing.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not going to say I'm like good, but I've always had like a good musical ear. I actually did all my grades for singing when I was younger. So I understand like the beats and the music and I picked it up quite quickly. I'm still learning like all the fancy.
I mean, it's not a job interview. I believe you.
Grade six singing.
I do it with Charlotte M. DeCarle again because I do everything with her apart from sexual things, which is a shame because we would be the perfect couple otherwise.
Perfect lesbian couple.
So I do a lot of like grime, Afro beats, R&B and Charlotte's like a 90s garage girl.
Yeah,
so it's a dream team.
It like works between us. Apart from when we argue over, because I fucking hate some 90s songs and shit. I bring up the vibe and then she fucking kills it with some 90s. No, but it's good though, because it works, because most like other people do like her music. So,
you know, I never, like I said, I never really have an issue with people that aren't DJs learning to DJ and wanting to DJ, because if they fucking love it, I don't really care. You know what I mean? I always said this. I did this article on the Metro last year that I put about, and it was like top fucking what eight things that like every DJ knows to be true. And it was like me just being fucking bitter and angry, like, you know, all of this shit. But, you know, of just being like, please don't dance behind me in the booth. Like, I don't fucking want you there. Like,
a
all
girl
of this
came
shit.
And snogged
requests.
Me behind the booth on Thursday night.
It's pretty good.
Fucking hell.
She came up and was like, I like your music. She was really hot. But so I don't know, I was a bit like, I don't know why, but I went, I like your face.
How do I get off my case?
And then she just came behind the decks.
Just get her away from me.
And then she came behind the decks and snogged me. And Charlotte was like, all right, she's about to mix. Can you get back? And later on, Charlotte told me that she just got a bit jealous.
Oh, bless her. Bless her. Big up Charlotte DeCarl. A lot of weird shit happens when you DJ. Like the worst is what's the requests, as I'm sure you know. Like I've had.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about the requests.
Fucked up things. Like
I'm out of this loop. I'm the requester.
Oh no, you're not.
No, I'm not.
There's a certain personality trait. There's a personality trait for people that make requests. You know what I mean? Because essentially, it's saying. You doing your job over there, you're doing it wrong, okay? And me, who has no experience in what everyone in this room wants, it will do it better than you. What I know in my head is better than what you're doing right now. Like, so I just keep thinking, like, you know what, one day, I'm going to go to your job tomorrow, and I'm going to go up to your desk where you're typing and fucking doing an Excel sheet. I'm going to stand next to you, and I go, sorry, mate, actually, I think you're doing that wrong.
I catch a guy, I literally played one song. I'd played one song and the guy came up to me and went, have you got any bashment? Classic. I went, no, not really. You don't know what bashment is? No, I know what it is. You don't know what bashment is? No, I do know what it is. So can you put some on? I mean, I don't have any. Well, what kind of a DJ are you? Not a bashment one. Not a bashment one, clearly.
God. Not a bashment DJ, yeah.
I've been violent towards people before the requests. I just go a bit crazy. I'm like, I take it so personally. I'm like, how dare you tell me how to do my job? But when I have no patience for people, there was this one girl that came up to me and was like, can you play something newer?
Wow, like, that is vague.
Like, okay, that is really vague. I was playing something quite new as well, right? Yeah, no, I mean, DJing is wonderful and it's a great, I think this is what I said in the article is that I should stop complaining and just be happy that I get to play music to a club full of people.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing actually, I was thinking about a DJ gig that I did quite some time ago that you were at, Ruben.
I was, maybe.
When we threw a party for the Being a Dickhead's Cool. have you ever seen that video, Being a Dickhead's Cool? You
must have seen it.
You know, it's a song. It's a, you know, Seb must have heard this. It's, you know, like it's a song basically breaking down. What year was this, Ruben?
2011.
A YouTube clip where it's a song about people moving to London and becoming hipsters, right? And it's a really incredible song.
You're such an idiot. we put the thing in the Queen of Hoxton.
If you haven't, anyone at home, if you haven't seen, I mean, it's how many views is on, like 30 million or something? It's ridiculous. It's quite a lot of millions of views. It's got shared by
Will Self. Wrote an article about it.
Jesus Christ,
it's weird. It's so weird.
And Ruben, along with our friend Raf Riley, made this song together. Raf, incredible producer. Raf Riley works with Diplo and all sorts, and the two of them together made this song, Being a Dickhead's Cool, which is now like the you know, this thing that's been committed to history.
Plastician actually messaged me like 2 days ago about it. He was like, mate, I didn't know that was you. And it's a weird one. It's
thanks for invite, guys.
I completely forgot we threw the thing at Queen of Hoxton.
That was amazing. Party in
you had a supermarket sweep jumper on. That's what I remember about it.
How do you not remember performing that song with a live band?
We did that at Lovebox.
What?
With a 7-piece live band. It was mad.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was pretty mad.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was a sick party. But that song, you know, that song was 6 years later, it still got a life. Sorry, before I was just going to, I want to go down memory lane. Talk to me about grime. Because you show me shit about grime.
What would you like me to talk about?
Why are you so into grime?
Do you know what? It's proper weird. So I went to school in the Lake District, which is obviously like
the grime hotspot.
Grime.
Yeah, that's where grime comes
from. Grime was born. Grime and Mark Owen. And now it was actually the Dizzy Rascal, obviously.
Classic.
When he came out with Fix Up Like Sharp. And I just remember the first time I heard it, I was like, what the fuck is this? This is like obviously there wasn't really anything like it before. Yeah. And I used to love it so much. So then from there, I just kind of like, I've always been a bit of a nerd when it comes to music. So if I like a song, I spend a lot of time researching. And like, it's easier now because you've got Spotify and stuff. But back then you'd have to like...
Go to the library.
Wait till your parents weren't on the... when your two parents didn't need the phone line. Dial up. In between being on a Messenger.
Forgot you can use the phone. Yeah, yeah.
Napster.
But yeah, so that's kind of like... I guess when I first like found love for it, but obviously there wasn't really a scene and people didn't really like come up to that part of the world.
Yeah.
But it was actually him, and I know that's you wouldn't call it grime, but another rapper that I got really into was Akala. So that kind of is where my love for it started, and then I don't know, I always liked it since then, but since moving to London like 10 years ago, that's obviously where I could get more like, into the scene. And then when I started my radio show on Hoxton, I actually didn't do a lot of grime because I was like, I just didn't think, this sounds like, it sounds a bit silly, but because I wasn't known for being, having that knowledge, I didn't really think that I could do a show around that. And then it was only when I moved in with Charlotte, because I'm going to talk about her every time I talk, that when I moved in with her and she listened to what I always listened to, which was obviously like more like grime music, she was like, why don't you play this on your radio show? I was like, oh, I just don't think that my fan base or whatever would want to listen to it.
Yeah.
And then I realised I didn't even have a fan base. So it's quite easy to do what I wanted. And then like from there, yeah, I've had like people come into the show. And like you said, I spent, because I was still researching a lot of things, I like discover loads of like cool new
You've had
talent.
A lot of sick people on the show as well, like up and coming as well as established.
Yeah. So I've had like Chip.
Yeah, nice.
Merkston, my mate Merkston, we did a sound clash. He's like one of my best mates actually now, and I'm in his new music video alongside Arnold Acheng, which is coming out either next week or the week after. So it's pretty sick. It's really amazing. B Dot shot it, and it's black and white. Like, it's such a sick video. So I'm really excited for him for that track to come out. I think it's going to be a really good track for him. I've had like Bugsy. I love Afrobeat music as well. And I got in an Uber the other day, and the guy was like maybe 60, and he was playing Pata Rankin, and I was like, oh, I love Pata Rankin. I'd love to see him live. And then we had like this huge conversation because he was like, how on earth do you know about Afrobeat music? Yeah. So yeah. I mean, I don't really, I can keep talking about it.
No, no, you should, are you going to go on, you should go on an Afrobeat discovery.
Well, actually, so next summer I'm going to go on a DJ tour of Ghana and Nigeria.
Sick.
Because I can't speak for Ghana, but I know that the grime scene in Nigeria is quite big as well, so I quite want to do like an Afrobeat grime set.
They've got so many stars that are from there.
And kind of where do you want to take it? What's the next step? Because you are championing like new talent as well, which is something I always kind of big people up for.
What's weird? So my ex has a an agency, and they represent a lot of like grime artists, and they actually took on quite a few people off me saying, oh, you should check these people out. So they look after like Big Tobes now, and I can't even remember who else. And then like the rapper from Baltimore, a guy called Take Bang. I think, I don't know, I wouldn't, I mean, I guess I must have a good ear for it, but I think it's more the fact that I spend so much time, like I'm still that nerd that just spends so much time looking for new music.
That's the best way to do it. Like, you always be a nerd. There's an acronym in that somewhere. And are you getting a lot of, Ruben, are you getting a lot of people hitting you up going, okay, so you've so you've drawn all the greats, you know, no, Skepta, Stormzy, The Last Skeptic. You know, you've done all these wonderful people.
I do. Yeah. It is, or like, here's a picture of my children. Can you draw them?
No.
And it's like, I don't know if I can.
Wow.
Well, you could, they're ugly. But like,
it's just kind of, I don't know. It's a weird one. It is a weird one.
Is it because the kids are ugly?
It's the equivalent of the DJ request. Yeah. It is kind of mad. But no, it's good, man. It's lovely. It's lovely to be like, to have that kind of accompanying thing of like being part of, I guess you could call it the grime scene.
Yeah.
But with art, where it's not like music on its own, it's the culture, do you know what I mean? How a lot of people talk about like hip-hop having a culture. There's like so clearly a culture with grime.
Yeah, and you're like Jacob the Jeweler for
no But that would be great if I was.
Shout out to anyone who gets that reference out there listening to the podcast. Tweet me the if
watch,
you do.
The watch. Everyone knew about the watch.
Everyone.
But then also like with, from the kind of type of art that it is, bringing grime into places where you might not have it. Like the Tate Gallery was the first time where the whole collection was shown, the Tate Britain. And that was ridiculous because it ended up with a bunch of 16-year-olds just in there smoking weed, but yeah, it was still weird.
That was it. We spoke about that when Asim Chabuddy G was on the podcast. And because Corrupt
did you? Yeah, there. Amazing, yeah. Amazing. And, big old
talking
big old
about
Asim,
how they rioted in Tate Britain.
Yeah, it was unbelievable, and that felt like a moment for me, definitely in whatever I'm doing. Yeah, having, but like it's that kind of thing where a lot of those kids who are in there probably wouldn't on a casual one just drop into the Tate Britain, or you know, and so to be in there and have kids looking at art and taking pictures and having that thing of like where you're, because I remember being young and going to art galleries and it kind of going over my head,
of course, yeah,
that makes sense. And
that's me now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it's true, like same, because we don't relate to a lot of it, you know.
Yeah, because what's there for them in terms of the art? And like, you know, if you're looking at it, it's kind of rich old white guys, basically. Yeah. And the nice thing is that, you know, these kids were the ones who knew. So they would be in there and they'd be able to see these pieces, and they'd be the ones who'd pick up all the little details, pick up all the little references to grime and things like that. And that was wicked. And to just get a new audience into a gallery, for me,
that's amazing.
Is wicked. It was so good. Yeah. Even though it nearly got shut down by the security guys, it was great. And I will honestly, like, it was kind of overwhelming. Very, very overwhelming that even happened.
You've exhibited since, right?
Yeah, there was an amazing one in Leeds where, because basically Hattie Collins and Olivia Rose, they released a book quite recently called This Is Grime.
That's right. Big up Hattie.
Big up Hattie. What a legend. She's been pioneering grime with,
of course.
She's like, for anyone who doesn't know, check her out. She's like an incredible journalist.
Human being.
Yeah. Hattie is sick.
Yeah.
And they made a book called This Is Grime, and they basically set about like photographing everyone who is involved with the scene at the moment, which is awesome. I got photographed by Olivia, which is awesome, which is sick. But what's so good is like just the, it kind of feels like now there's this whole, it's like people are proud of it in a way that I don't think they were in sort of the early 2000s.
No.
And it was always seen as this kind of like the weird cousin of hip hop, which it's not even related to hip hop in so many ways. And I think that's why it's so good. It's like this, it's like we've got ownership over it, and you've got all these American artists kind of, it's not even co-signing. It's like they are the ones who are kind of begging.
They want to be a part of it.
They want to be part of it. Of course. Exactly. Which is so cool. And so to play like a really small, tiny part in that is wicked. Like,
well, it's quite a big part, really, because it's part of the solidification of it being part of our modern culture of this weird bricolage of our time that
bricolage, big up. Sorry,
you know what I mean. Someone did a sociology degree. Come on now. it really is. It solidifies it. It makes it
good.
It makes
mate, it. It's, I'm like, I'm so proud of where this is now. It's unbelievable. And like to have, because what I think is nice is now is it doesn't just feel like the music side of it, but it's like a culture in the set. In
would you do a portrait of Drake because of his newfound contribution?
You know what, it's not, I'm not even going to lie. I had thought about it. But
to get that Instagram post,
bro. I'm not even going to lie.
Go on.
I've had little...
Go like, on.
I've had likes. I've
come
had
on likes. Now. Champagne Pappy.
Champagne Pappy likes.
Does he follow?
There's no follow.
He should follow. That's kind of even more flattering though, because he's actually had to go stalk you. It's not even like it just came up.
Yeah.
No, but it's...
But he is officially a Boy Better Know member, so I feel like you should do the portrait. Get that.
Instagram. He doesn't need... This is the thing. I kind of feel like as much as you got to, you know, I like the fact that he loves it and the fact that he came out in like Stratford Rex or whatever it was with like Section Boys.
It was Village Underground.
So the fact that he did that is great. But for me, it's like he doesn't. It's about being proud of.
Yeah, and it's not important.
It's not important. He, you know.
And also, isn't that a great position to be in? Because back in the day, if I was like, okay, what's the equivalent of us in 99? All right, us in 99, if fucking Dame Dash or if Cannabis liked one of our photos, I'd be like, oh shit, I'm doing it right. DMX likes me. You know what I mean?
Although there wouldn't be. It would be dial up and there'd be no
Instagram. It'd be dial up, yeah, that's right. Oh my God, DMX likes my forum post on the D12 fan page.
That sounds like it really happened. That is too detailed for...
really did. No joke, I used to chat to Proof on the D12 forums. Rest in peace, Proof. Like, it does happen. But no, you're right. We don't need the cosigns because we have everything.
No, this is what's so sick. Yeah. This is what I love is that like right now it's like, yeah, you don't... There's no, because before there was that kind of, people wanted the America. If you break America, then that's you set. And it's kind of, people are now
finally realizing that you don't need America.
You don't need America. You don't even need a label.
No.
It's like, you can do it on your own. You can do it. It's brilliant. It's so good. And the scene is, you know, in a really healthy position. Mm-hmm.
Who's the next one that you'd want to... paint like one of your French girls. That's a Titanic reference. I just wanted to say that.
Fits right in with the grime.
It does. Really
seamlessly segued into it. There's a lot.
I like that noise you just made.
It was great.
That should be your DJ thing. Like when you.
Yeah. Well.
Well. There's like a few. To be honest, it's kind of what's quite nice is it's like slowly expanding. And there's like a Mike Skinner on in the works.
Great.
There's an Amy Winehouse on in the works as well. You know, it's like it's taking kind of ownership of the British musical movement as well as. But for me, it all came from just being a fan. So that's basically.
I remember the first one you sent me.
I did.
It's the first one I've done.
Yeah. It's mad. And like you know, like to get. Someone like Skepta to post it on his Instagram or Stormzy to post it on his Instagram. It's wicked. It's lovely to
Stormzy making it his fucking Twitter profile picture and shit cool. like
it's
that.
Really, it's great. Sick. It's great. So I'm very, you know, it's lovely to have that kind of, a reception.
Yeah. And you linked up with people just do nothing. I mean, I know how it happened, but explain it.
Well, I think it's kind of, this is the beauty. I think for me, it goes back to like, this is the beauty of having tools like Instagram, like Twitter. And a lot of people give social media a lot of stick, but really, honestly, that is how I've got every job that I've ever got.
Wow.
Like in so many ways. Like, so it just comes of, again, being a fan. I remember watching the People Just Do Nothing stuff on YouTube. I heard they were doing stuff on BBC. I watched the first kind of like pilot stuff and I heard they were getting a second series, so I just made a bunch of stuff
promo material
because I was like, I know what I'd do if I was gonna promote this stuff. So I made a bunch of kind of episode artwork, it was just promoting series two, and then I put it out and then they were like, this is great.
Yeah.
And their manager got in touch and now he's my manager, which is really good. And yeah, I do like a lot of stuff for the boys and I guess it all comes from just from being in that weird thing where like, obviously people who are doing stuff are more reachable on the internet, but then if you're putting out stuff that's then good, they can then see that. I think it's brilliant. It levels the playing field, basically. It leveled the playing field. So everyone can get their stuff seen. Everyone can get their stuff out there. And it's just like, if your idea strikes with the people who... I mean, like going back to that thing we were talking about, the Hattie Collins thing in Leeds. There was an exhibition in Leeds and Giggs was on stage.
Yeah.
With the picture that I... The portrait I did of Giggs.
Sick.
And that, from, you know, because... It's that reachable, like it's that it's really quick to kind of reach out, and I don't know, but yeah, the People Just Do Nothing thing is great. Those guys, like, it's they're very much on my I don't know what you call it, like the same humor.
Yeah,
it's kind of
yeah.
it really well, fucking also growing up like people. That is like when I was 16 I was in pirate radio stations yeah. trying to DJ, and I remember it, you know, it's so close to home
yeah.
that it's so accurate.
Definitely. That's why I fucking love it. Yeah, like, it's you brilliant. Know, having Grindr and, you know, like Sipa and Asim on the show.
Yeah,
like,
which is amazing like, that you had those guys on the show.
Of course,
yeah,
that's fucking brilliant. Sick. But like, big up gigs as well. Like, just obviously doing, you saying that, it's fucking incredible, dude, man.
Like, yeah, man. Like, he's like the official gangster rapper of the UK.
What
like,
a guy.
The actual, he's like our, what? I don't want to do him injustice by saying 50 Cent, but you know what I mean that. You know what I mean?
No, because like he's charisma all over, and just the safest guy.
And like, the happiest guy.
Yeah, he's a very good guy. So like,
safe.
I was with him at Glastonbury this year, and I've never known someone to like just smile so much.
Yeah, that's where the name comes from.
I know.
Giggler. You know that. Giggler. When he came here, we did that song with Michael Payne, and he was just like the safest dude. You can imagine.
Yeah.
And also, and when he did his ad-libs, that was probably one of the happiest moments of my life.
Yeah, sorry.
Jeez. So Ash, we were talking about like the social media kind of blessing, but blessing and a curse, kind of both sides of it. I'm guessing you battle with it, or you have to exploit it or use it every day like all of us.
I reckon like, I actually would say, and this is like really sad confession, that I suffer from like social media anxiety because I feel like it's so intertwined with my job. Mm. And also the amount of followers I have is so intertwined with how much money I can make that it sometimes it gives me anxiety. And a lot of the things I'd love to write, like I'm pretty like open, and if anything, I'm too open and I should maybe just like reduce my output and focus on like my work a bit. But I have like a... like random thoughts, so I just put it out there. But yeah, I get like social media anxiety.
In terms of the pressure that you feel like you have to kind of perform and be a good face on
it. No, not to be a good face. I'm cool with being myself, but it's more that I just don't know what like my followers want, and I think everyone wants something different. And because in my industry or our industry, it's so, like I said, like however many followers you have has such an impact on like the campaign deals you get, how much money you make, like it's huge. So sometimes I panic. So rather than just putting up what I want to put up, there's like, is it the right time to post? Is this the right content post? Is this the right thing to post? Do I post too much? Should I not post? But then if I don't post, and do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's crazy. But I think like my worst social media moment was, like back in the day, I was like a massive Aaron Carter fan. Do you remember? Oh, have I told you this story?
No, but I'm already cringing.
So Aaron Carter.
Big shout out to Aaron Carter. Big up. Blah, blah. New Ruben Dangor.
No, we
Aaron
don't like him
soon.
Anymore.
He's coming soon. Forget the
We don't like him anymore. So basically.
We don't like him.
It's not coming soon.
Scrap the portrait.
I think I was 8 when I really liked him. 8 to 10. You never know, because I never told that one.
I found out.
Yeah, so.
I was just pretending to know, but no, great.
Don't lie. Sorry. Everyone loved him.
That was
everyone
a
loved him.
So
I got followed by Aaron Carter, like maybe about 2 years ago now on Twitter.
Okay, good. On Twitter. Okay, and not in real life.
I was like, it was literally as if I was 8 years old again, and I saw it flick up on my phone that like Aaron Carter now follows you. And I just like lost it for a minute. So I followed back and then I got a DM from him and it said,
sliding
"Hey,
in the DM.
Hey, I'd love for you to come and see me on tour with a link." I didn't open the link yet. And I put, "Oh my God, Aaron." It was literally like 8 years old. I was just got so excited for my 8 year old self. I was like, "Oh my God, Aaron, thanks so much. Oh my God, I was such a big fan. I'd love to come and see you on tour when you're on." And then suddenly I got unfollowed and I clicked, and it was basically an American tour day. And you know, sometimes people set up those auto DMs when you follow them. Basically I fangirled on him and he unfollowed me. So fuck Aaron. Fuck you, Aaron.
Fuck Aaron.
mate.
I'll happily set up a beef with Aaron Carter. I'm happy with that any day of the week. I had like Melissa Joan Hart follow me on Twitter.
Oh yeah, I had that.
Like, yeah. And I was like, I got so excited.
And then you realised you followed 24,000 people.
Yeah, I was like, I ain't following you back. Fuck that shit. You know what
so
I mean?
Did she,
so does she still follow you?
Yeah.
That's quite sick.
I don't follow her back. I fuck that shit.
DMs.
Nah, you know what I mean? Clarissa explains it all. But also because I looked at some
don't
of her
lie,
tweets.
You're like, hey, baby, what are you wearing?
So it's a brilliant teenage witch. What spells you got? No, like I was you know
you
what I mean?
You put a spell on me with your beauty.
I was thinking, I looked at her tweet, Clarissa, and I started looking at the tweets and it was so right wing, Republican, all of this shit. And I was like, nah, bruh. But no, the best follow I've ever had, which is a constant strand through the Thanks for Trying podcast. Anyone who listens will know my weird fascination. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it or not.
I've never listened to this before in my life.
Eve's never listened to this podcast.
I don't know what I'm doing here.
Who are you?
Nick Carter?
My Uber's coming.
Carter, yeah. it's for my favorite TV show ever, which is Due South, which I did speak about. Yeah, you know that. Which is the greatest TV show ever made. I have to say that all of the time. And I had an actor from that, David Marciano, who plays the jaded Chicago cop, Ray Vecchio. And in the TV show Due South, and he followed me on Twitter, and I was like, you know what? I don't care if you're whatever you're saying right now. You are my hero. I'm going to follow back, and one of these days, I'm going to talk to him.
I think you should get him on the podcast.
I would love that, but no one else would give a fuck. I mean, apart from like three episodes of CSI that he was in.
This is the thing.
Don't say what. What if he's listening and now you're saying no one's going to give a fuck?
David Marciano, if you're listening, I mean,
wait, hang on. Not the Mountie.
Not the Mountie. It was the cop.
I reckon you'd be flattered to be on your podcast, but just said that.
I know, because you might be listening.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Reynolds might be listening. There's so many people that might be listening right now.
Aaron Carter probably is.
Or no one. It's a true story. So Ashley, you don't want to talk about Made in Chelsea, but I want to talk about
Were you on Made in Chelsea? Not that I...
Oh, he's excited now, Ashley. You can't let him down. Look at him. Look at that face. You can't let that beautiful
No,
man
that
down.
Face is disappointment.
No.
That's that excitement.
I'm not disappointed.
Yeah? There's at least three people in this room that are fans of Made in Chelsea, and I won't tell you who they are.
There's only four.
And I'm not one of them.
You're not one of them. So between the four other people in here, there's three fans of Made in Chelsea.
Were you on that show? I didn't see that. Yeah, no, I'm going to stop. My grave is already deep enough.
No, please. I respect anyone that doesn't know because then they don't bring it up.
Sorry. I'm not sorry at all. Come on. You got to say something.
Yeah, do you know what? Okay, when I did the show, obviously I'm glad that I did it because...
How long were you on it for?
Like 8 months, I think. So I'm glad I did it because here's a little nutshell of my life. Mm-hmm. Grew up in a working class background near Newcastle. Won a scholarship to a posh school. And I had like this weird like dual life growing up where I'd be at a posh school with like the aristocrats and then I'd go home and my dad was a truck driver and because my mum is a hairdresser so I'd like spend... Do you know that in a truck there's a bed on the top deck?
Yeah.
So I'd basically spend my school holidays truck driving with my dad and then go back to the school
that's
where everyone...
Cool, actually.
So I had this like kind of mental life and then because of the school that I went to and I guess because my parents obviously put so much... pressure on education because for them like they both for whatever reason had to leave school before GCSEs and for them that was like they wanted us to have a better life blah 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 so I started radio when I was 16 like just work experience and stuff but I had to go to uni do all that like standard stuff and even though I knew I wanted to be a presenter partly because of I love how I said this is like the nutshell of my life
this is great I'm into it
so partly because of where I grew up and like there not really being that many like opportunities for like this kind of world so I didn't think it was a possibility but also because of pressure I'm quite like academic not my general knowledge is shit but I'm quite academic so I had like a lot of pressure from like schools and unis
academics.
To do like university and graduate jobs and all that
yeah.
that when I got to a certain age and I was like shit I always wanted to be a presenter and suddenly I'm in this like normal job life and hating my work so I quit my job did a TV presenting course and I did like loads of promo work and whilst I was sending my showreel like my you know those like really shit but like fake showreels where you've got a fake background you know those like paid courses
like
you do
MTV auditions
yeah and when I sent out my showreel to all these like production companies and every channel I could think of the Made in Chelsea's production company were basically like, well, we wouldn't have you on as a like we wouldn't have any presenting jobs for you, but would you want to go on Made in Chelsea? But for me, it was quite jokes because obviously I've got a posh voice, but in my head, I'm still Geordie because that's how I grew up. So I was like, what? Okay. And I was that friend that anyone who watched a reality TV show, I'd be like, oh my God, you need to get a life. And anytime we're out in London and anyone was from a reality show was out, if my friends were bothered, I was like, oh my God, you need to get a life. And I would only watch like documentaries, QI, Question of Sport. Yeah. But suddenly when it was put to me, I couldn't get an agent. I didn't have any contacts. And then I obviously you see people on the show that like are doing well. Mm. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll try it out. And it kind of like went from there, but I didn't tell my parents. I only told my brother and sister. I didn't tell my friends because I was too embarrassed after like beefing them for watching it. And then my brother and sister the night before I was going to be on were like, you need to tell mum and dad because it's not fair if like mum goes to the hairdressers and everyone's like, oh, have you seen what Ash's done? And then my dad was like, well, if they need a Geordie, if they need Geordie Jeff to come in, you know where I am.
The character so sorely missed from Made in Chelsea, Geordie Jeff.
But do you know what? So I did it, and the moment, like, I was dating someone, and the moment that ended, that there wasn't really like a purpose for me to be on it anymore. And I find that a lot of people that go on the show,
someone in the show.
Yeah, so that was like, I guess, my main storyline. Yeah. And when that we broke up, there wasn't really like. My storyline, I guess, came to an end, and there's a lot of people that go on the show and kind of like chase storylines. Yeah. So they'll like fuck someone, or you know, it's just a bit brutal. Like even one of
was
the girls,
weird? Was it quite a weird experience?
Yeah. So yeah. One of the girls I was friends with, I found out when I watched it on TV that she was actually fucking my ex because she was one of the girls that was desperate for a storyline. And like for me and my like life, I'm not one of those people that. If my friend is fucking my ex, they're no longer my friend. Whereas on that show, it's a bit mad, isn't it? Like, so I left, but off the back of it, I got an agent and presenting job, which is what I set out to do. So it's cool, but it's not like I'm embarrassed that I was on it because I wouldn't be where I was. But
you went on it ironically.
No, but do you know what it is? It's more that I find it like annoying that people presume that's my background when I'm actually really proud of my parents for coming from this like working class background and giving me what they have. But then a lot of people presume that I've had like this silver spoon life.
Yeah. Hey, Drake was on a TV show. It's fine. Degrassi.
Look, I think it's cool. Like, and it's a cool thing to say to like my grandkids if I ever have children. Probably not.
We'll all be dead.
Or just my dogs. When I tell my dogs and my cats that I was on, I think it's, do you know what I mean? It's like a cool thing to say that I've been part of, absolutely. But it's more that I feel like it's the stereotypes. And even like doing, say like it's taken me a long time, I think, to make headway or be respected in terms of like the music, because a lot of people who know me will be like, what, the one that was on Made in Chelsea? But now I'm kind of getting there and it's cool.
I don't think anyone in the grime scene has ever seen that show.
I got sent on Twitter a clip of me on it and I sent it to Merkston and he was like, yo.
I don't think I've ever seen you on it.
No, that's a good thing. I mean, how many probably episodes? Because
exactly.
I mean,
I've watched so many
to be fair, like even if you're a massive Main Chelsea fan, like you could have just like gone to make a cup of tea and missed me.
Shit, that's such a shame. They missed a trick then by not making, you know, you in every single scene stabbing people repeatedly in the face.
Do you know what? I could have been a bigger part, I reckon, but I chose love. I've always had like an idea in my head. Like I've never been bothered about fame. And it's weird because even when people would come up to me, I didn't really like it. Because when I was on the show, like obviously you're very quickly like famous to an extent. Yeah. And I never liked it. Like I used to find it really weird that I'd go out. I remember even going back to where I'm from, you have to go get a train to Newcastle and then like this really little train to where I live. And it'd be me and my sister and people would be like trying to take pictures of me like on the train. And I was like, this is just a bit weird because it's just me. Yeah. So I think because I never liked chase fame and I've always had an idea in my head of what I've wanted to do, like I wouldn't say it's been easy, but just work and think, take time, and then I don't know, profound.
Very profound. Well, I'm going to continue that with that strand after we have our tradition, Thanks for Trying podcast tradition of a piss break when we will return
I did mine when I arrived.
Is this tradition or do you just need good. A piss?
No, no, no. This is every single time. You know, if you listen to the podcast, Ashley James, you would know.
No, I listen every time.
All right. 45 minutes in. I was joking. We have a piss break and then a shot when we come back.
Really?
Yeah. You know, come on, you know that, Ruben.
Embarrassing.
Coke, is it that time? Monday night, you guys are rowdy.
No, I'm not on it. I'm like that.
I've got a 9-to-5 job.
Welcome back to the Thanks for Trying podcast. welcome back to the Thanks for Trying podcast.
You freelance fucks.
We've come back to a clearly drunk
this
Ruben.
Is bullshit.
You told me to pour yourself a drink, to pour you
I
a drink.
I can't believe that I'm the only one that didn't have a wee.
I know, this is what they say.
I thought women had worse bladders than men, but I'm doing it for the feminists right now.
Hold that wee for the women. Hold it for the girls. Hold it down.
My bladder is ridiculous. I need to
like
urinate.
A camel in the desert.
Yeah.
I'm not like that. I need to wee all the time.
I need to urinate like every 5 to 6 minutes.
Also, once you break the seal, you guys are fucked for the rest of the podcast.
I might have to leave midway through this half to just... Already now thinking about it.
I love how you call it a half, like a football game.
Yeah.
What a lad.
Ashley James.
Season ticket holder, Arsenal FC. God, I love Arsenal, sorry.
I do love Arsenal as well.
Are these shots?
Christmas shopping while we talk, is that all right?
No, that's fine, because we'll get to that after the shop.
I just got it in
a
my
mug
head.
Full of whatever it is.
These are the specific...
I thought it had orange juice in it.
It's not orange juice, it's your fucking... the thing you just poured.
Yeah, I mean, you said we'll have that with orange.
Not with orange, this is a
shot. But the guys...
Why did you say
orange?
They
won't know if I don't do this.
Because it's got an orange lid.
Everybody! Okay, so... this is, we're cheersing a shot. Ashley James brought us a lovely bottle.
What is this,
of Cointreau.
I honestly don't know what it is.
I've never shotted a... oh, Cointreau before.
You can fucking shoot whatever you want, mate. Cheers, Ashley. There you go. Sorry. Cheers. Sante. Cheers. All right. Ice. It's a tradition. Cheers. Thank you very much.
L'chaim.
I've never had this before. Oh, it does taste of orange. Smell of orange.
What a load of bullshit.
Oh, that's... No, it's not. Yeah, give me like that. All right.
It's like a modern day Terry's chocolate orange.
It's fucking delicious. I'll do like 10 more of those.
I definitely don't need... any more alcohol for the rest.
It's good. Booze is good. Booze is healthy. This is what you need. So Ashley James, you're looking at your phone because you're ordering Christmas presents.
No, Christmas shopping.
Put it down and talk to me about something I want to talk to you about. Which is...
I'm going to airplane mode it just in case there's an interference. Nah, if one of my side dicks hits me up.
Whoa, wow. There you go.
Side dicks.
I was going to say side chicks.
I've never heard that in my life. That's amazing. Side dicks.
I can keep that in if you... I will keep...
There's
I'll
no
keep.
Side dicks.
All right, cool.
Side dicks suggest they've got problems.
Yeah.
You don't want a side dick. You need to
and
get
also,
that
I'm just,
that.
I'm just
you need
thinking,
to get that removed if you...
Gran, if you're listening. Yeah. Gran, if you're listening.
Lasered. For some reason, I'm just... You can get that lasered off.
Lasered off. I'm just imagining Sideshow Bob, but with a dick attached to his side. Like, wow. Here's the imagery
but
right
does it
now,
mean
actually.
He's got one at the front as well?
No.
Oh, just
no,
the side.
No, he's got a smaller version of his face down there.
One in a thousand.
One in...
Can we just talk about Peppa Pig for a minute? He is definitely just a penis, and I can't believe that got passed off.
Wow.
Definitely been talking about dicks way too long.
Have you seen pictures of Peppa Pig?
I don't recreationally look at
balls.
Peppa Pig.
Can you
are we
get
back in? Are we
recording? Yeah, I think we're in. We've been in for a minute.
If you get Peppa Pig up,
we're not reloading. This is in. This is how we go. We can hit the ground running.
Whoever the cartoonist was of Peppa Pig, when he pitched that to ITV or BBC, whatever it is, can we just get it up?
Producer Seb is getting up a picture of Peppa Pig.
That is a fucking penis and balls. When the guy was like, "I've got this idea for a kids' TV show,"
yeah, with warts.
Did no one say it looks like a dick?
I mean,
it kind of does.
It definitely doesn't
it
look
definitely
like...
It definitely does. No, maybe not yours, but it is it. If you were to draw a penis and balls from the side, a side dick...
Yeah. But it's the two ears protruding on his head that make me think genital warts.
It happens to some people. STIs are a thing.
Get yourself checked, ladies
or
and gentlemen.
Or wear protection, or don't have sex like me.
Peppa Pig, get yourself checked out, because you might actually be a penis attached to a pig's body. So get yourself checked out, Peppa Pig. That is the long and short of it.
Hi, Gran, if you're listening.
Welcome back to the second half, everyone. This is Last Skeptic podcast.
Thanks for trying.
I thought you were saying to Ruben, thanks for trying, as in this is the last skeptic.
Yeah, wow. Thanks for trying podcast, episode 9. I don't even know anymore. Fuck knows what episode this is. So what I was going to ask you, Ashley Louise James, is basically you've got, because I struggle every year with Christmas shopping. All right, this is every single year. Okay, so I've been Brad. You've got a what the kids call a website, and on that you've got a little Christmas shopping guide. I've browsed it. I can't afford anything. It's fine.
What? Have you not seen that under £10 section?
What? I didn't scroll down further enough.
Basically, you got bored. It was gifts for, gifts for him over £50, gifts for him under £50. What kind of fucking cheapskate are you anyway?
I like
a big one.
Have you got an under £1 range?
Oh my God. Pound. Can we just talk about the fact that, you know how it was Black Friday?
Last Friday. Yeah, and Cyber Monday. I don't know.
So
today.
This is a true story. Poundland did Black Friday and there was a queue.
Is it just free?
Outside Poundland. And my question is, if it's Black Friday, would you rather save 50p in Poundland or maybe go to a different shop and get a bargain?
Poundland. Poundland every day.
Do you know what? It's true, isn't it? Like 50p is 50p, whereas like even if you get, like for example, Urban Outfitters had 50% off. Wouldn't you rather get 50% off?
But you're still
going to
shell out £40 or whatever.
£40 on a fucking, what is it you were buying, Kim? You should buy a notepad for like £18. It's like, all right, I'm not going to spend
a notepad.
Anyway, yeah. my gift guide.
Make notes.
I don't make notes. I'm too gangster to make notes.
Even gangsters make notes. Even
really, I got it.
Noted.
Even gangsters make notes. New album, let's get to Even Gangsters Make Notes. It's a good title.
Noted.
Noted.
Write that down.
Last Skeptic, what is your new album called?
I can't say it on air.
Ooh, air.
I can't tell you.
I could have to wait. But I won't.
Oh, shit.
Because it'll get cut out anyway.
They all know what it is.
Yeah, everyone, so do you. But
I actually don't know what it is.
He's forgotten already. He's drunk.
You haven't told me. That is so... I feel left out. That is unbelievable.
If you...
He's just angling to make the artwork on the new album. I know, I do kind of want...
I'm not angling.
I don't want to do angling, it.
I don't want to do it.
I'm out.
Fucking hell, it's escalated quickly. It's everything. It's second half.
Can we just talk about
happens.
My gift guide again?
Sorry, yeah, gift guide. Yeah.
Right, so I've got...
Christmas. Because Christmas is soon and people listening to this, it's going to come out a couple of days... Days time.
Basically, because everybody always struggles with Christmas gift.
Christmas shopping.
A good 5 days going through all the websites, cheap ones and expensive ones. I do put the expensive ones out there just in case someone rich comes along and they're like, what, £3,000 for headphones? Yeah. But there's also like, so I do over £50, under £50 for girls and boys. I do men's, women's, dogs. Because I buy my dog's presents. And also Secret Santa, so under £10. And they're all on there and it's a visual board because I can't be asked with like clicking links to find it. It's basically just a board that you go and if you like it, cool. And if you don't like it, cool. But my favourite part of my website is my inspiration page, which is basically separated into films, documentaries, series and books. And it is a visual Pinterest board. It's not Pinterest, it's my website, but... Yeah. It's like a visual board of anything that I watch or read that I recommend.
It's brilliant that you have the inspirations page because you also have lots of like inspirational females as well, which I thought was fucking dope.
I mean, it's a tenuous link, but it is one. Yeah, I have a squad page, which is girls in my industry. Do you know what it is? So basically, when I started this industry, I was like, oh my God, everyone's so nice. It's amazing. And then when I came off the TV show that we don't talk about, but we do talk about in this podcast apparently, I realised that, oh my God, people weren't actually my friends. They just were nice to me because I was on a TV show. Whereas there is a select few people in the industry that actually do genuinely support each other.
Because there's so many cunts within the industry.
I mean, the industry is a cunt.
It's ridiculous. It's rife with cunts.
Not that being a cunt is a bad thing. Big up the feminists. But no, there are a lot of them.
Jesus.
Dickheads.
Yeah, exactly. Peni. There's a lot of peni.
That's the plural, by the way.
Plural. Yeah. Octopi.
Octopi.
Spud. Spud for that.
That was a spud.
That was a spud.
Podcast
spud. Yeah, there's a lot of peni and cunti within the industry. And so it's nice for you to actually find people and for all of us, they're actually fucking safe as hell.
Yeah, and so... I decided to do a squad page, which is basically a page of people in my industry. So either like presenters, radio DJs, DJs, bloggers, whoever it is, just cool people in the industry that help people, whether they're above or below them. Because I think, like, in any industry, like, whether you're a fireman, that's my dad. Hi, Dad.
Big up all the firemen.
Two jobs, truck driver and fireman.
Fair play.
Yeah, basically Hero. In any industry, I think there's like people that will only help people if that person benefits them, whereas there's like the rare group of people that are just like there for you.
So exactly.
That's the squad page.
That's fucking cool as hell. And it's ladies as well.
Yeah, because I think especially girls don't support each other.
Yeah. Mm.
The girl that fucked my boyfriend's not on the squad page.
Is she not?
What a bitch.
Hopefully she's dead.
Nah, she's alive. Not doing that well now, though.
Embarrassing.
Wow.
Got kicked off the show and now what?
Whoa. One thing I did want to talk to you about, because I have a list of things. Now I'm drunk, so I'm just going to go through them without tenuous. It's so tenuous that it's past tenuous because I'm not even linking. We shot a film together.
I think we can say that we're going to be on Red Bull TV, so it's not a film, it's a TV.
It's a TV show. TV show. We did a whole 22 minute episode.
Is it 22 minutes?
22 minutes. That's what they told us.
Is it?
Yeah.
God, fucking hell, we were there for 24 hours.
I know we were.
How fucking boring are we that they only got 22 minutes out of that?
Each episode's 22 minutes. So we fit, I mean, I'm sure they could have made 3 or 4 episodes with our
banter.
Maybe they are.
To be fair, this is a true story. They did say that everyone that watched it said that we're so funny that it's actually the favourite thing that they've shot.
Yeah, because nothing actually happened in our entire night except
for
once.
I was like, in my head, I was like, really? Because I thought I was fucking boring that night because we sold ourselves as like, yeah, we're fucking good time people, but I had a flight to Ibiza at like 7 a.m. When they said it might not finish until 6 a.m.
I had impetigo. I was fucking... yeah.
I was like, and I'm just
I had your concealer
dull.
All over my face going, I've got all these things on my face. Yeah, it was fucking grim, but we had a
hoot.
It was fucking hilarious. And I just did so many like side looks to camera after making terrible puns.
I think I did that as well.
Punishment.
I deserved punishment after that. It was a good Ruby. I think we should celebrate.
It's coming out like, I think sometime next year. It's
February,
a long process.
I've got puns to it.
I was a lot of fun in Ibiza the next day.
Jesus, I bet. I bet you went to fucking Ibiza for that. I don't even know how you managed that. Factual.
I'm a Geordie. I'm never going to fucking miss a flight. I have to pay more money.
Why is this a thing that Geordies don't miss flights?
Because we don't fucking pay extra money for shit.
Wait, where? What's the name of the town that you're from?
It's actually, this is a true story, officially the centre of Britain. So if you take the most northern British Isle, the most southern British Isle, well, the east and the west, because you know how centre works, right?
No idea.
It is my town, which is called Haltwhistle. Big up Haltwhistle. There's graffiti in Haltwhistle calling it.
Oh, you said, because I'm
Hollywood.
Like, I'm hearing like an X and a T at the same time. What do we...
Halt. Haltwhistle.
Halt.
I didn't get the X and the T reference. Are you saying that I've got a lisp?
No, I just didn't know how to spell it. It was literally more of a.
Haltwhistle.
Haltwhistle. Do you have a lisp?
I didn't think I did until you thought I either said an X or a T.
Do people lisp X's? Because that would be a sick kind of lisp.
DMX. Maybe he's actually called DMT.
DMX. That would be sick. I really want to redo every DMX song, but with a lisp now, because I feel like that would add
X
a whole new
kind. Gonna give it to you.
DMX gonna give it to you.
Give it to you.
I feel like you were just a Northern Irish DMX by then. Well, X gonna give it to you.
X gonna give it to you.
Wow. You were mentioning that you have what did you drink?
I forgot we ran out of tropical punch and I just downed the rest of the
drank rum.
This is what I was talking about earlier. I ordered a rum and coke the other night. No, rum and ginger ale the other night. At the Urban Music after party, and I was given white rum. And they would not change it because they said I didn't specify the rum.
Should have specified.
If anyone's listening that thinks, what's wrong with that? White rum and ginger ale, that sounds nice. Is it ginger ale or ginger beer? I never know the difference.
I never know the difference.
No, one of them's alcoholic and one of them isn't.
No, it's not. Ginger beer,
ginger beer is like a tiny percent alcoholic. I swear it is.
No.
Like 0.1%.
No.
Yeah. Oh. They're both non-alcoholic, but they're both gingery.
Like, bullshit. Oh my God, my whole life I've lived in fear of ordering the wrong one and thinking, shit, maybe I'm going to like end up double mixing my alcohols.
Yeah, no, you're good. Ginger beer is not.
So they're both not alcoholic?
No.
So what's the fucking difference?
Because if you think about it, ale is still a type of beer.
Yeah, but what, so what's, okay, so let's get to the broader subject. What's the difference between ale and beer?
Oh, I mean,
one tastes really bad.
Yeah, they so you don't know. You tried to do a sigh like, oh, here she goes. She's
here
stupid.
Here she goes again on an Ashley.
But run. Then you realise that you don't know.
Absolutely no idea.
Tweet us.
Tweet us in.
The difference. And is one like not fizzy and one's fizzy?
What are we looking at?
Ginger? Can I have another? I've got another question as well.
And ginger beer. No, okay, go on. I have to say things out loud when I'm Googling them.
Why you Google?
Because you're a mum.
Mate, you definitely shouldn't Google that.
No, the dry version is what we recognise today as ginger ale. It's pale in colour and has a mellow ginger flavour. The big difference between ginger beer
you're
and ginger ale...
You're a mellow ginger flavour.
All right, yeah, true. Between ginger beer and ginger ale, is ginger beer is brewed fermented, but ginger ale is just carbonated water that's been flavoured with ginger. So ginger beer is what you want because it's proper ginger because it's been fermented up in this bitch. And ginger ale is just some fucking bullshit. They've just put a bit of flavour of it up in there.
Flavour.
So you want ale. And then you want to know the difference between ale and beer. Well, here we go.
Can I just give a little tip while you're Googling?
Don't say it out loud while I'm Googling it.
If, like me, you like champagne/prosecco/cava, anything that's fizzy, that's a wine. Mm-hmm. If you've still got a soda stream, this is true.
Yeah.
If you've still got a soda stream knocking around from back in the day, if you get the cheapest bottle of wine,
yeah,
soda stream it, fucking champagne.
Wow.
Spritz.
Wow.
No, it's just genuine champagne.
It's just genuine champagne.
Hey,
genuine champagne.
If you're listening and you live in the Champagne region and you
you're
soda
a lie.
And you
you're
soda,
a lie.
No, and you
how
soda
many listeners
stream
do you have
wine?
From the Champagne region?
Well, quite
bare
a lot
listeners.
Actually, yeah.
Especially when we hashtag champagne.
Hashtag
champagne region. Hashtag bonjour.
Just so that they know we're saying hello at the same time. Otherwise, I'll be like, this isn't directed at us. No, not at all. It's just random. Oh my God, they're saying hello to us in French in our own native language. Okay, so ales.
Hello
and-
to us in French. In their native language.
Bonjour. Ales and lagers are brewed with different types of yeast. Ale yeast ferments at the top of the brewing vat at a comfortable room.
I reckon everyone's really enjoying this.
No, there you go, the last sentence that I read in my pedo voice. The main difference.
This is probably quite a good
two.
Episode, just saying.
You guys, do you guys want to learn? You know what I mean? Or you know, all right. The main difference between
they
the
definitely
two,
don't tune into
Ruben Dangor, do you want...
Do you want to be invited back? Do you want to do his album cover or not?
I don't want to be invited back.
If you keep talking over him, you're never going to get to do his album cover.
I'm shutting up. I never want to draw his face again.
The main difference between the two is the different types of yeast that they both
so
use.
Good. My should we just end it there?
Voice. Sorry, I cut
it off. It's fine, you broke it. You broke the mug, it's okay. That's a
the handle
mug.
Off the mug.
He just broke the handle off the mug. He couldn't handle
it. He could say that.
I couldn't handle it.
Are you mugging him off?
Oh, here we go. Oh.
One clap.
Oh, wow. Before you get so drunk that you fall over, talk to me about David Attenborough.
What do you want to know?
Well, obviously, we're all fans of David Attenborough, obviously.
Yeah,
and
obviously.
He's fucking 90 years old.
Can you say you're related to him?
I wish I was. I wish he was my granddad.
Him and Chris.
Basically, my ideal family would be if I had Christopher Walken on one side and David Attenborough on the other.
What, in a gay
side.
Marriage?
No, like one granddad was Christopher Walken.
Right.
And one granddad was David Attenborough.
Your grandmas were fucking Christopher Walken and.
They wish. They fucking wish.
What do you want to know? Well, I don't know. So, no, because you did a portrait of David Attenborough doing a dab.
Well, it was because.
He is a
Planet Earth.
Savior.
Have you seen Planet Earth? You've
oh,
seen
the one
with
season.
The baby iguanas.
Being chased by the snakes. Yeah, I feel like that daily, man.
Nuts.
Come on now.
That shit is amazing.
That's industry wrapped up within a scene.
Yeah. I can't believe I just broke your mug. I don't even know how I broke
care.
Your mug.
It's fine. I'll probably break all the mugs later in a fit of rage.
Like,
you did a dab. What inspired you to do a portrait of David? Because obviously I love David Attenborough. She did one as well with Corbyn doing a dab. Big,
I did do a Corbyn.
Big oh, I love Corbyn. Fucking Jeremy Corbyn.
You love
I don't
it.
Love
a dab. Okay.
Hi. Hi again.
Hello. No, do you know what it was?
Jay.
It's basically because people were talking about how he couldn't win that particular leadership re-election. And they were talking about how the young people couldn't win. Like, well, basically, it was the young people that got him in. It was our generation that got him in. And the dab feels like quite a suitable celebration for the people of our generation when
I
you think about...
I'd like to put out there that I'm the worst dabber in the UK and probably in the world.
I don't know how to respond.
I can't dab without lifting my opposite leg. So my dab looks like a river dance.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Fair, much
true.
So when you draw me like one of your French girls, paint me like one of your French girls, when you do me doing the dab, my opposite leg has to be up in the air.
Yeah, just remember that. I'll definitely remember that when I'm doing it.
2016 has been pretty fuckery, basically. And I hope David Attenborough makes it out the other end.
You know what? Like, and that's the most fucked up thing is he's 90 years old. Like, same age as my nan. Big up my nan, yeah?
Big up.
And like...
Hi, Corinne's nan watching.
Pearl, she's fantastic. She always gets a shout out on this podcast. And but like, it does worry me. Because people are old. And you know, people who are old, they die.
There's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I mean... Obviously, like people like Nas and Jay-Z, they're not there yet. But it is one of those things that I do think about, where it's like when your heroes,
yeah, that's how you know you're next.
Definitely die, and when you're older than Biggie.
Oh my god, that's right.
That's mad.
We are older than Biggie.
Oh my god, do you know what I realized? Yeah. We are older than pop stars and footballers.
Footballers is one I realised recently.
I love football.
That is so
I love football. I'm a man.
No, but isn't that it's shit? True, yeah. If we were enter the X Factor,
not Peter Check,
we would be in the overs
yeah,
category.
He's definitely older than
we are older than pop stars and footballers. Like fucking hell.
I do feel but
it's true.
David Attenborough, I feel for me, is like one of those guys where you. Never. I can't really imagine my life without David.
Well, so what will happen for us? Because listen, I will not give a fuck when the Queen dies. Yeah, I just won't.
Wow.
Care. Like I won't care. Apart from the fact that there'll be loads.
Hi Liz, if you're listening,
there'll be fucking loads of wankers out there going, "Oh my god, the Queen! Tourism's going to be affected." And I'll fucking hate that shit. And I'll be very angry. I don't give a fuck. And like, but I will care so much. I'll probably cry when David Attenborough
dies.
Yeah,
of course. There's a generation. Yeah,
I don't even like saying when because I think it won't happen.
He's eternal.
Yeah.
He is eternal.
Part of the girl band.
Eternal
He was the secret member.
Eternal were fucking amazing, all right?
Waterfalls, Stone Road chasing them.
Waterfall. No, that's TLC.
TLC, you prick.
I'm just going to chill out right now.
I did watch last night. Very quick mention to the Organized Noise documentary that everyone at home should watch. Who wrote?
Just confirming.
Waterfalls for TLC. They're amazing producers and writers, and they also wrote "Don't Let Go" by En Vogue.
I feel like none of this was on your list.
None of this was on my list. Fuck my list. Wait.
Your list looks shit, by the way. It looks like a shopping list.
You hear that? I've just scrunched up the list. Yeah, I've actually said everything on the list. So that's probably
it. Was
why.
Quite a shit list.
I was gonna get you to big up GQ or something. Who's
big up
been
GQ.
Really nice to you recently. I was gonna get you to talk about it, but that was the only other thing.
Yeah,
on the
you
list.
Know what? It's weird because, like, true story, GQ did an article on. It's called "How to Date Ashley James."
GQ, that's the Tractor Monthly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So GQ Online. That was my Somerset accent. Tractors, big up.
Big up
no,
tractors.
So
what did GQ say? What are the tips for all the budding guys and girls and Charlotte DeCarle out there who guys and girls?
One of the tips I really liked, and if you know me, you will know how much this is true. It said if you like Ashley, you have to buy her super malt.
Super malt.
It tastes like Shreddies.
It does taste like Shreddies.
It's so nice. I actually invented a cocktail the other. On Friday after my radio show that I thought was so good, but only I agreed, which was super malt with spiced Jaeger. And I was like, oh my God, guys, I've just discovered the best cocktail. Try this. And then everyone said it tastes like pilau rice, but who doesn't like pilau rice? It is a classic.
I mean, I like Bloody Marys because they taste like bolognese. So I think you could just make a whole menu where it's just like...
Amazing.
Sick.
Join us for our Christmas lunch podcast.
Pilau rice and bolognese. Wow, you know what? I remember Supermoto, I remember back in the day because I went to school with Sway. Rapper Sway is fucking incredible. He taught me how to
produce. Little Derek's doing okay.
Big up Sway. And like he always used to say that like he was like he used to drink soapy Supermalt all the time when we were kids. Like that was his thing. Everyone in school drinks Supermalt. And he said to me, he goes, because I used to drink Nourishment. And he was like, don't drink Nourishment.
Nourishment's good. Vanilla or what flavour did you go?
Vanilla, peanut butter.
I mean, you can tell I went to school in the Lake District because I'm like, what is this?
They didn't. I don't think they shipped it to Lake District.
Pound a can, Dunn's River.
Cranberry juice, orange juice, apple juice.
It's like a milkshake, but really heavy, kind of like condensed milk kind of thing. It's fucking incredible. And he goes to me, he saw me one day in school and he was like, you shouldn't drink that, man. It makes you infertile. You should drink Supermalt instead.
Nourishment makes you infertile. I mean,
Allegedly.
How does this even happen? It's a fucking condensed milk drink. But as a 12-year-old, you're like, I don't know what infertile is. I don't know what infertile is, but I'm scared. So I'm not going to drink it anymore. You know what? That is a perfect moment to wrap up episode 9.
Can you actually rap now?
I don't want to wow everybody with it.
I'd like you to wrap up with a rap.
You know what? I'm not going to do it today. Maybe the next episode 10, which leads me to plugging episode 10, which both of you, I hope you will be in attendance, which we are doing live.
Absolutely.
Crumb dingles. Thank you, guys. Make sure you're there. Episode 10, live at the Phoenix in London on December 18th with Ed Skrine, who is in here today, by the way. Big up Ed Skrine for just passing through. And Doc Brown. And they will both be there on stage. And we are going to be doing a podcast live. So make sure you are there. Buy your tickets. Come down. It's going to be fucking at least moderately hilarious. So thank you so much to my wonderful, beautiful, fantastic guests, Ruben Dangor and Ashley James.
I'm going to keep clapping so we sound really popular.
You've been listening to the Thanks for Trying podcast, episode 9, hosted by myself, The Last Skeptic. Big shout out to my guests, Ruben Dangor and Ashley James. Shout out to you for listening, and big thank you to everyone who's been downloading all of the episodes. Get in touch, let us know who you want to see on future episodes and all that shit. Big thank you to Seb White for recording it, as always. Episode 10 will be up online after we do the live recording, so it'll be up just before Christmas. Big up yourselves.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.